We're going to call the Health and Human Services Conference Committee together. We're going to continue walking through Article 12, and then we're going to get into Article 13. When we get into Article 13, I do know that there has been a lot of negotiation continuing. This is the home and community-based rate-setting issue, and I believe that the status of that is that the negotiations are not complete at this time, but we'll get an update as to where they are. It's unlikely we'll be able to adopt anything in Article 13 as we move forward. The House goes into session at 9, but I believe they're willing to stay till about 10 o'clock. So that's the plan for today, and then we would recess at the call of the chair, try to figure out where and when we can get back together again this afternoon, and continue from wherever we have to leave off. With that, I guess I was gone to present another bill towards the end of 12, so I'm not sure exactly where we left off. Are we in trouble? Okay. Senate Section 43 is what I'm told we left off on. This would be on page, well, you guys didn't make very far after I left. Okay. Okay. We adopted Section
42? No.
Yes.
42.
42. 41's on hold. 42 is enough.
So we're on Senate 43. House Section 30. This is the modifications to the SHIP program. And do you want me to go through the differences now? The differences are going to depend on what we end up with the money, because the department would probably not want to do some of the
right.
Senate positions if we don't fund it
right.
appropriately.
So let's hold on that.
Then Senate Section 44, this is a Senate-only position. It expands the targeted families in the family home visiting programs to include families with serious mental health disorders, including maternal depression. I believe we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Senate Section 45 to 92 and House Section 31 to 77. This deals with the changes in licensing requirements for alkaline hydrolysis facilities. These are all identical, except actually it was the Senate who made the mistake, and we should take the House. That there is a section that the Senate has that should have been deleted with that old change to the branch establishments when we took out that language in both the Senate and the House and turned it into the study. We left a section in there that dealt with that issue. So
I would move that we adopt sections, the House sections 31 to 77.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 93, 94, 95 are changes due to the changes in the Office of State Register and the vital records sections that are Senate only. House Section 78 is, in this bill, it's House only. However, the Senate companion has passed the Senate floor, and this has to do with the Task Force on Prematurity. And there are some differences here in terms of what passed the Senate floor and what is on the House or in the House section. And the differences are the number of representatives on the task force. The Senate reduces that from 15 to 7. And there's a change to promoting adherence to standards, to ensuring adherence to standards, and then it removes the duty of the task force to review potential improvements in health status related to health care homes. And I'm not sure how you want.
Does staff have any recommendations?
Sharon's bill.
Senator Sharon. Thank you. I just I remember, just for those who don't, it was Senator Benson who served on this prematurity coalition. She thought that the group was large, and there was a discussion with the coalition about reducing its number, and there wasn't a significant concern about that. The coalition may, if they're here, they might want to talk about it. And the removal of the language is because they felt that they removed some language of things that tasks that they had completed, and they were focusing on things they continued to wanted to do, and obviously promoting versus ensuring raises the bar in terms of what they're what they want to do. They described a number of activities that they'd done to promote adherence, and felt that the promotional initiatives were completed, and now they wanted to move to the next step, which was to make certain that those initiatives around promoting would be followed, would be adhered to.
Senator Sharon, do you know where the task force and their members and advocates would, what they might prefer? I don't know if there's anybody here. I don't know if the House did much further work on this.
Liebling.
Well, Representative Liebling, did you do some work on this? Are you? I mean, if we can move it, great. If we need to talk about it some, that's fine.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd rather not move this right now. There were some, I think we had some, besides the difference between the House and the Senate, which I do think we should consult the advocates on that, there might be some further tweaking to the language that we might need to do.
Okay.
Laurie, I see somebody here. Mr. Griffin is here if you'd like
Mr.
to.
Mr. Griffin, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Phil Griffin. I'm here representing the March of Dimes Minnesota chapter. And I think Senator Sharon described the situation for you very well, and I don't have a great deal more to add. We are happy to do whatever the legislature would like to do. We feel the importance of the task force and the work that it's done is self-evident in the report that's been given to the legislature. We would like to continue for two more years to try and continue a few more tasks to try and bring the hospital community together and those that do care in the prenatal times to try and reduce prematurity. That's our major goal. The makeup of the task force was set up originally in Representative Abler's bill 4 years ago to really have a broad representation, and Senator Benson felt that, that there were way too many people on that task force. That was the reason for her bringing it in. We don't have any objection to that different number. And I know Representative Liebling and I have talked about this language and a couple of things that she's interested in. So if the group wants to hold over, we can talk off record and try and resolve some things. I know Representative Abler's had an interest in this going.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think it's been a successful task force. And so I don't want to repeat anything people have said. There is one element that was stricken that I thought we should keep in terms of duties, and that was number 7, which is on line 492.19, having to do with coordinating with healthcare homes and prematurity. And we tried to do something in legislation to promote that 2 years ago, and the best I could do was put it in this thing as a mention. At least somebody's going to keep working on it. These individuals are very high risk for prematurity, and the healthcare home thing is kind of legendary. And so, if that can stay reinstated, that would be good because at least it's mentioned. They don't have to do anything about it except to keep it in mind, and maybe some legislation can come out of that to make sure that these women are tracked better and that their babies are brought to full term, and we don't have to pay for premature births and all the other things that come with that. So
I think it's good that both bodies want to see this extended, this good work, and it seems like we have the right people on the conference committee here, so maybe Representative Liebling, Representative Abler, and Senator Sharon can get together and kind of determine what ought to happen here, but for now we'll hold on this and move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Yes, Ms. Cleveland.
Senate Section 96 and House Section 79. They have technical differences. This is related. These both went in as amendments to require the commissioner to review requirements related to preparation and embalming rooms for funeral establishments that have branch locations. The differences are technical, and we recommend the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language in Section 96.
On Representative Huntley's motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, members, on page 15, House only, sections 80 and 81 are the nurse staffing plan disclosure, and I believe this passed both houses yesterday.
It did. So I think it's a money provision. We should get a better bead on exactly what it's going to cost and see if that fiscal note got adjusted at all, and then we'd adopt it maybe so that it's right.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, the bill that passed has the appropriation in it.
It does.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, and it is, and it matches with the House's yes. appropriation?
Yes.
All right. Well, then.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I guess I just would like to make sure that what we have here in the bill is the same as what passed the floor, because I think we took the Senate language yesterday. I think that was what was in the bill, and it was slightly different, if I remember right.
Mr. Chair and members, the language is different. The money is the same. The money here is the same as what passed. The language was different.
Maybe staff could instruct us the proper motion to get the language and the money in sync with what evidently has passed and is presumably on its way to the governor and likely to become law.
Mr. Chair, I don't remember the exact differences off the top of my head. It was a small change. But if does it need to be in the
no.
bill?
Well, there's some confusion on the Senate side as to whether it will need to be carried here
okay.
at all. I mean, I think that this may need to be found on the bottom line. So we're going to hold on this. Representative Abler?
Mr. Chair, it's probably just a matter of who has to pay for it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if it's in our target, you could say, well, you passed it. It can't be our target anymore. So then you've saved yourself $250,000. So I would lobby for that.
We're gonna hold on this item for
now. Let Senator Cohen pay for it. That'd be
there's something on the bottom line, I think, somewhere. So we'll hold.
Mr. Chair, members, then Section 82 is a House-only provision related to Level 1 trauma centers. It's requiring a study. I have an amendment
yeah.
here that Representative Abler would like to offer.
Representative Abler?
Thank you, Ms. Chair. It comes from the department about who's going to look at it. And I don't think there's a cost to this. Is that right, Mr. Berg? Is this still without cost?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, I don't know about the amendment. The indication I had from DHS was that there would be a small cost for
oh.
the language in the House bill.
All right. At least we can get it cleaned up so that the department's happy with it. And, Mr. Chair, my intention in the beginning wasn't to have a study, but to find a way to help keep North Memorial and other hospitals, the Level 1 centers open and giving some credibility, some thought to the fact that it takes money just to keep it open. And so if there could be base funding provided to the three metro Level 1 traumas, then they would be open and ready no matter who goes there. Right now they're still based upon volume. And so one in particular, North Memorial, is at risk. And so since we didn't find the money to do that as a base funding or something, this was at least the second best. So I hope as the process goes on, you can find what small money you need to work on this project.
So what you're offering, Representative Abler, is the A214 amendment be incorporated into the House language, but not
right.
yet into the conference committee.
That's
that correct.
Yeah, just to change the House language.
Representative Abler moves the A214 amendment on that motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair and members, then on page 16 of the summary, House Section 83 is House only, and this requires the Commissioner of Health to consult with certain stakeholders and submit a report to the legislature, and this is a study on advanced health equity in Minnesota. Section 84 is another house-only provision. This is an eliminating health disparities provision. Permits the Commissioner of Health to provide working capital advance grants to grantees for certain awards, grant awards under the general fund. Section 85 is house-only. This section requires the Commissioner to assess the feasibility of adding a quality measure under Chapter 62U for screening, diagnosis, and treating children with autism spectrum disorders. Senate Section 87.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry. Representative Abler.
To these three sections, I just want to offer a comment. These are without cost. There's the Department of Health has three individuals in their health disparities department when they pass out grants. And they're, frankly, we pushed them pretty hard on this about autism and their leadership and health disparities, and they kind of took it to heart. And so they want to work internally to see how they put their grants toward health disparities, what impact they do have. There are some very small grantees, one Somali group in particular, I can't remember the name of the group, and there was a woman, she had, I'm not prepared with the names of the group, but anyway, they were a very credible group, but a large grantee can handle cash flow, and they spend the money and submit a reimbursement thing. These small ones don't have any cash flow capacity at all. And they've had some fraud issues with one group that did everything perfect, and then they paid the money out and they didn't do anything. The grantee was terrible. And so they had the auditor dinged them on that, so they really tightened up, and that tightening up really affected these tiny grantees to do their actual health disparities work. And so this would give them flexibility in these cases to work with them on a very short leash and have a one-month lag or something. And so you can look into that, but that's Mr. Koppel was very involved in writing this. And the grantees, the little grantees are very happy with this. It helps them continue on to do their work.
And they're
And so it's that's the status of Mr.
Are these no-cost provisions, you said, or
right.
Low-cost?
No,
zero. No-cost, zero.
Yeah, Mr. Koppel wrote them with the department, and they wanted to do it anyway, so this kind of organizes how they're going to do it. So I don't know if he's here or not. But
I don't know. If somebody's from here from the Department of Health, they could come forward if there is a cost, and that's incorrect. If you don't come forward, I'll assume that there is no cost. I get the nod. Okay. We'll go ahead and move on.
Mr. Chair, I would move House positions sections 83, 84, and 85.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair, I understand that Kim Norton was working still with advocates in the department and others potentially on some new language in section 85, and so maybe we could adopt it and then revise it, but I do believe that that's one that's still under some discussion. She has been our lead in working on the issue of autism, and so I do believe that there might be some new language coming forward on that one, but I don't have it. I just know that there's some ongoing discussions.
Okay, well, let's just hold on the block. I mean, it's one motion. Just hold on it and allow the...
So we're doing 83 and 84?
Or just hold on.
Okay.
Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 97 and House Section 86 are identical. This is the revisor's instruction related to the change in the vertical heat exchanger to board geothermal heat exchanger.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 97.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the repealer section, Senate 98 and House section 87, they are identical. However, the House removed the vital statistics sections, and the repealer was mistakenly left in. So they should be identical, except for the fact that the House position was not to repeal section 485.14.
So... Staff is recommending the Senate, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, it would depend on if you're going to include the Senate position of the changes to the vital records or not. So you should probably hold on.
Hold on
the
hold. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just hold that. Article 13 is next, and I do know that I mentioned that there is ongoing negotiations between the provider communities affected by these rate-setting methodologies and the department, and maybe we'll invite Alex Bartolik from the Department of Human Services to give us an update on that. I'd welcome if somebody was here from the provider community and wished to offer testimony too, that would be acceptable. But with that, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alex Bartolik. I am with the Department of Human Services, and we have been working very hard with the coalition. And for many of you that think recall the history on this, the department had come in with a rate methodology bill. There was a coalition with an alternative bill. We worked together, and there was a bill put in with some amendments, and now we've been working to finalize language. We've been meeting pretty continuously, and we're very, very close. We've been looking at where we can make agreements, and some of these agreements are good agreements representing a better product. Some are things we can live with so that we can start this and we can have this. And we also have been looking at what would be interim values to be able to come back to the legislature. So we've made our way through many of the details, including how to handle transportation, how to look at budget neutrality, how to make it operational as we go forward. Right now, and we're hoping our last meeting will be this evening, we're trying to finalize the implementation and the details of the implementation. From the department's perspective, our corrective action plan with CMS had us implementing this starting January 1st, 2014. And we had agreed last session that implementation would include a 3-year banding of rates, so no provider who is serving somebody would see more than a 1% rate difference, either up or down, each year for 3 years, and then we would go into implementation. The amendment that was put on the bill is what the coalition has proposed as a 00111, which means for the first 2 years, we are calculating the methodologies, we are getting all of the information, but we're not paying the new rates, and then starting the banding the third year. And this would give enough time for everybody to understand what their new rate is and for us to look at the implications of that. We're working through this. This is an area where neither side can probably agree with the other side, but we are trying to understand what language can we put forth that will work. How do we also look at a safety valve? And this came up, I think, in a Senate committee hearing about what happens if CMS doesn't approve something that might have a 00111. And so we're looking at a safety valve so that we would proceed with what is in the bill on the timelines. But if that isn't approved, how do we best go forward? That's what we're trying to finalize tonight. We expect to be able to have language to you within a day or two. Knowing that, again, with a change this big, it's never just done. We're doing it in an environment where there are no dollars to fill in those gaps. It has to be budget neutral, so that means that there are going to be some people who see increases and some people who see decreases. We're trying to mitigate this the best way we can while still having a system that brings us into the future and gives people choices and access to needed services across the state.
Thank you, Ms. Bartolik. Does the coalition wish to come forward? I see him standing there. Add some additional context.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Craig Weaver. I work for ARM, but I'm on behalf of the coalition. I'd just like to echo what Ms. Bartolik has said. The discussions are ongoing. We've come across some very difficult issues, and I think we're making progress on those. The big hang-up, again, is the timeline in terms of making sure we have something we can implement that works for everyone in the system, but also takes into account the CMS penalties and any kind of corrective action that we may have to deal with in that. So kind of balancing those two issues. And we've met at this ad nauseum. I think we're making progress that'll everyone can at least kind of deal with and understand. And so that's kind of where I think things are at.
And you believe that in the next day, or you also believe that in the next day or two, we'll be able to have language here that's as good as it can be?
God willing, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Representative Abler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know you've been working hard. And I think that, Mr. Chair, and the members of this conference group, I think are pushing them with just trying to make it as lenient as possible, I think, is productive. And and I recognize the pressure the department feels. On a related thing, I was surprised talking to the nursing home regulators that they were pushed. We felt they were too demanding. But they themselves felt pressure from CMS to be demanding. And if they didn't find enough stuff wrong, they themselves got criticized. And like another argument for more flexibility from the feds for Minnesota because we're so good at this. But we're stuck with that. But this has to work. And you said ad nauseum. I'd say ad importantum or ad critical dumb. Because if this goes badly, providers will go out of business and the services we want to provide won't be there. And that's the department has no intent about that. I know that for a fact, and they feel pressure from the feds. But I want to also caution the department as we do these big changes. They're painful, and I'm sorry we had to do it, and we sat through a lot of years of that already doing painful things, and we knew some outcomes weren't very good. This is one we can try to control. And I'm happy we're off the plus or minus 5 to plus or minus 1, and I hope there's a way you can come up with a 00111 and tell and make sure to convince CMS, even using our federal representatives if you need, to tell them that we're on this, and please let us phase this in. We need the data. We don't want to cause unintended consequences. Because even now, I don't think you can tell them. I think there's models, but not data, that have been accumulated to give people specific numbers about what the rates are going to be. And so accept our help. Please, department, and I really admire the quality of staff they have, and the advocates are just so dedicated to the welfare of our people. So, Mr. Chair, we have a system we can be proud of, and if we can enable that to go forward in this new way, then it's even going to be better. So, thank you.
Yep, and I'd like to echo the appreciation for all of the hard work that's gone in thus far, and really glad we're finally making progress. I know it's been 5 years already in the making since the feds instructed us to take a serious look at that, at this, and hope that we can kind of move beyond this. A day or two sounds really encouraging. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad that we have people working together. And not having been involved in those discussions, I don't know the validity of the feedback, but we have heard from family foster care providers that they feel like they're at a sort of disadvantage because their 24/7 doesn't allow them to really be as actively organized and engaged. And I hope that that we'll make sure that as you negotiate this, that you make sure that that component of our system's voice is heard and it continues to be a vital part of the system, because quite honestly it has been for many people the most stable housing option in terms of having long-term personal relationships, and you know, we need to preserve that, and I understand their difficulties in being at the table in quite the same way as some of the other larger entities can.
Any further discussion on the intro to Article 13? Seeing none, is Mr. LeBeco, are you going to walk us through this? Maybe we can be kind of brief, just highlight the little bit of where we're at, because I understand we'll probably be changing this some. And
Mr. Chair, members, yes, and for the most part it's identical, or there's some same or similar. So House Article 13, or Senate Article 13, House Article 3, all of the sections and subdivisions line up, so I'm just going to go through saying one section. Section 1 adds a cross-reference and is identical. Section 2 adds staff compensation and staffing and supervisory patterns to the list of home and community-based services. Waivers, payment methodologies must address, and it's identical. Section 3, there's some technical differences, and as of right now, staff recommends the Senate. It allows the Department of Human Services to adjust with certain exceptions individual reimbursement rates for by no more than 1% annually between 2016 and 19. Section 4 allows DHS to work with other groups in addition to the existing stakeholder group to assist in the implementation of the new payment rate system. It says identical. Continuing on to page 3, section 5 is identical. It implements new payment rate methodology for home and community-based services waivers beginning January 1st, 2014. Section 6, there's some differences. They're all technical. Subdivision 1 makes the payment methodologies apply to the CAT, CADI, DD, and BI waivers, and that's identical. Subdivision 2 establishes the definitions applicable to the section, and there's just some technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate. Subdivision 3 lists the applicable services authorized under the state's home and community-based waivers for persons with disabilities. There's some technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate. Continuing down to the bottom of page 4, subdivision 4 requires providers to enter data into the rates management system in order for DHS to collect data for rate determination. Again, there's some technical punctuation differences, and staff recommends the Senate language. On the top of page 5, subdivision 5, it establishes the base wage index and standard component values in order to calculate the rates. Again, there's some technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate. The next four subdivisions, 6, 7, 8, and 9, they all calculates the payment methodology using the base wage index and standard component values for a variety of services. They're all identical except for technical punctuation and phrasing differences, in which we recommend the Senate. So subdivision 6 is in regards to residential support services. Subdivision 7 is for day programs. Subdivision 8 is for unit-based services with programming, and subdivision 9 is unit-based services without programming. Subdivision 10 instructs DHS to work with stakeholders to develop and implement uniform procedures to change terms and update or adjust values used to calculate payments. Requires DHS to continue working with stakeholders in an ongoing basis to refine those values, and requires DHS to submit a report with recommendations to the legislature on February 15, 2014 and 2015, and then biannually each February 15th until 2021, at which time it's probably be every 4 years. Again, there's just some technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate. The bottom of page 6, subdivision 11, states that payment rates used under the statewide payment methodology once implemented supersede rates established by county contracts. Again, there's just technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate language. Continuing on the top of page 7, subdivision 12 creates an enhanced customized rate for deaf or hard of hearing individuals of $2.50 per hour. Again, identical except for some technical differences. Subdivision 13, identical. It instructs DHS to require transportation service purchase to be cost effective and limited to market rates. Subdivision 14 allows DHS to identify individuals with exceptional needs that cannot be met under the new rate setting methodology, and allows DHS to create an alternative payment system for those individuals. Again, there's technical differences, and staff recommends the House language. Subdivision 15 requires DHS, upon full implementation of the methodology, to track and report the fiscal impact of the waiver rate system on individual counties and tribes. Requires DHS to make annual adjustments to counties and tribes' home and community-based waiver service budget allocations to adjust for the rate differences and the impact on county allocations upon the system's implementation. Again, technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate. Subdivision 16 is identical and requires DHS to make necessary adjustments to ensure the new rate set methodology is budget neutral when compared with existing law. On the top of page 8, subdivision 17 outlines the 2-year phase-in process for the new rate setting methodology beginning January 1st, 2014. And again, there's technical differences, and staff recommends the House language. And the last section, section 7, is identical as the repealer. It repeals subdivisions related to implementing the new rate setting methodology created in the section that are now obsolete or replaced in the bill. And that is Article 13.
Any further discussion of Article 13? Sounded pretty simple. Seeing none, are staff ready for Article 14? Who does that? I don't see a side-by-side, but it's just the appropriations article.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Cleveland?
There are technical differences. Most of this is going to depend on what you guys adopt, so it might be better to wait until you've adopted much of the language, and then we can walk through what still remains to be addressed, if that's all right with the committee.
Yeah, so there's not a lot to step through on 14? Is the same
true? Well, we can step through it. It's just that it all depends on the money, and
right.
The differences are either technical or it's going to depend on the money.
On the money.
It's up to you if you want to walk through it or not.
I don't think that's the, unless members are wanting to do that, it doesn't sound like the very best use of our time. And that would apply to 15 as well?
Mr. Chair, 15 is the contingent appropriations, and that also will depend. I think the only difference is the FTE issue. Is that the
only? And there's the three items that you sent to us in the main article.
Right, but that's all.
So that's all the
kind of
the dollars.
Holding for a target and discussions about then how we approach finalizing our spending priorities. Article 16.
Mr. Chair, Article 16 is the forecast. It's identical except for the effective date. It's just a technical difference in where it was placed, and we would recommend the Senate. Otherwise, that two-page article is identical.
Yep. So I guess Article 16 is only technical differences, and staff recommends the Senate, and ready to have a motion on that.
I would move Senate language Article 16.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We have one article closed. <That's> there's an amendment, I understand, on something we could go back and cover.
Yep, Mr. Chair and members, yesterday when you adopted Article 11 with the revisor's amendment, we left our Section 19 open, and the Department of Health has recommended language for that paragraph related to providing providers with the, or clients with the home care Bill of Rights. Sorry. So this amendment. Sorry?
Page.
Oh, this one.
It's on the amendment. It's on the amendment, so that's okay.
Mr. Chair, the amendment that's coming around is drafted to the revisor amendment that you adopted yesterday. And the language in the side-by-side is on page R43 of the A11, section 19 in the Senate.
But, Ms. Cleveland, wouldn't this be drafted to the delete everything amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. If you're looking for the language to compare it to what it was, it's on R43.
Okay.
But it's drafted to the delete everything amendment that the committee adopted yesterday.
Oh, that's right. And this is the one where the delete everything is drafted off of the House language. And we're looking for some changes to accommodate reasonable efforts in regards to communications that are understandable by the clients and their or their representatives.
Yeah.
But that that you actually have to communicate. It's not reasonable efforts in regards to the communication of the notice of rights.
That's right.
Okay. Maybe I'll ask the department if they can come forward and describe the process by which this was agreed to, and if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to offer testimony, that would be welcomed as well to determine whether this is ready to adopt and move forward also. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Colley. State your name for the record.
Certainly, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Matthew Colley. I'm the Legislative Policy Director for the Minnesota Department of Health. And after the discussion, but while the committee was still meeting, our staff who had worked with the providers on this sort of did a merge of the two positions, the House and the Senate, along the lines that Senator Lurie, you described. We showed it to a couple of the provider groups, got agreement from them that this language was okay with them, and then had it drafted up to show to the committee.
Any discussion? Representative Abler.
Mr. Chair, as I read the language, I think it's better than either version we started with. So
that's always
is that goal. Frightening? The House plus Senate equals better.
Any further discussion? Senator Sharon, what is that flag on your pen you're waving around?
This is what my staff is trying to help me hold on to a pen.
Okay.
Just once, if I could come back with the same pen I left with, they'd
all
be
right.
Surprised. And stealing others is the other. That's what that
Senator
is.
Sharon.
Okay. Thank you very much for this work. I think it's improved. The one component that also is eliminated here, I just would like to. The discussion about this language occurred in our Judiciary Committee, and they're very meticulous about language in our Judiciary Committee.
I know.
And Senator Lurie put me on the Judiciary Committee. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but he owes me big time. Anyway, one of the other components here was that's eliminated is if a written version is not effective, the notice may be provided verbally. And so I've been struggling with whether or not this language takes into account. I know you've talked to the providers about this, but the consumers is the other side of this equation. The persons who may have difficulty understanding what their rights are and that we provided as best within all reasonable efforts to provide notice of rights in the language they understand. And is that broad enough to understand that if it isn't written, that it can be verbal? That I just need to. I know I'm going to be asked about this when I come back to my colleagues in Judiciary. They were concerned about making certain, not just from what the provider can do, but that the consumer is really communicated with in a way that they will, as best we can, assure in language that the provider knows they need to make every effort. Not only in writing, but verbally, if the person doesn't read, if the person doesn't have a language that something verbally is done. So,
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Colley.
Mr. Colley.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sharon, the department believes that the removal of that language does not hinder what you are saying in terms of getting the information to the clients themselves. Our particular concern from the department standpoint is that we want them to have a written version in their hands, even if overall they don't understand the language, because that has the contact information for the Office of Health Facility Complaints on it. And that information is necessary so then if the client does have any questions or concerns, they have someone they can contact to. And if it is only given in a verbal manner, they would not have that contact information that they could refer back to. Personally, I also want to point out that verbally is a restrictive term in the sense that if an individual uses American Sign Language, for example, that is not verbal communication, that is also not written communication. So given the compromise language that we came up with, we believe from the department that it balances both what the providers need to do on a reasonable effort as well as making sure that clients have all the information they need.
Any further questions? Conversation. Anyone in the audience care to come forward and speak either in support or opposition? Mr. Pearson, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Toby Pearson. I'm here with Care Providers of Minnesota today, also on behalf of the Long-Term Care Imperative. We did discuss with the department yesterday these changes in language, and we're okay with how they are.
Any further discussion? Anyone else from the audience?
Any consumers here?
That's what I'm kind of looking for.
I'm just trying to make my point.
Yeah.
We've got the department, we have the providers, Senator, but I don't know. That's why it's up to us to say what is the consumer. Is the consumer's needs addressed well enough in this language? That's what I'm thinking about.
Right. Representative Abler?
Mr. Chair, there are consumer representatives in the audience, and they aren't coming to the table. So I think they just, I think I've learned that you can't always take silence for assent, but in something that's as important as this, if people are quiet, it's their assent, I think. So at least I was even talking to some random ones behind me here, and they just don't feel like talking about it because they're happy, at least happy enough to think that they're satisfied.
I'll open it up one more time for anyone from the audience, either in support or opposition. Seeing none. Did somebody move the A-237 amendment?
I would move the A-237 amendment.
Representative Huntley moves the A-237 amendment to the A-13 amendment. On that motion, any further discussion? Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that I think this is a good compromise, and I hear what Senator Sharon is saying. I think if you read the entirety of the language, to me this is really strong protection for the consumer. So I just wanted to say that before we vote, just in case there are lingering doubts, because I just thought there might still be.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Now I believe we have the A-13 amendment, which is a delete everything for all of Article 11, probably ready to adopt. If my recollection serves, I don't think there was any other open issues in Article 11. Maybe somebody could correct me.
Mr. Chair, I believe Section 19 is the only open one, so you just need to adopt Section 19 because you adopted the amendment yesterday without 19.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's right.
I would move we adopt Section 19 as amended.
Representative Huntley moves adoption of Section 19 as amended. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Does that wrap up Section Article 11 as well? Very good. Two articles. You know, with that, given that the House is going in at 9, we had anticipated to go here till 10, but maybe Representative Huntley and I ought to get together offline and try to come up with a plan for how to proceed. I have a list of conversations that we're going to need to have in this conference committee, but each and every one of them is dependent on the financing. And I think it would be premature for us to get into issues regarding formulas or, you know, how we approach different areas without knowing the amount of money that we're going to be able to spend. We're probably going to need to hold on most of these conversations until we have some certainty around our budget target. But Representative Huntley and I will get together offline and maybe add to this list. If members have issues that they feel need to be discussed in the conference committee, we can bring those forward and have them part of the discussion so that we can plan better. And we will, at this point, recess at the call of the chair in case we come up with some things that can be discussed in advance of getting a target. But at this point, you know, I don't see a productive conversation around these items without that. So we stand in recess at the call of the chair.